Now let us pray before we start. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, you are gracious unto us. You love us. And you have given us a chance now to study your word. Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit teach us this morning. And we pray that thy angels surround us, that as we open your word, you'll teach us what is your will, and you'll put these words in our hearts. Oh, we pray the Lord, as we live this day here, we'll live with a blessing and that our lives will be changed. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to start by asking all of us a question. How many know their grandfathers? How many remember their grandfathers? How many saw their grandfathers? How many saw their great-grandfathers? And do you remember them vividly, your great-grandfather or your great-grandmother? Now, I did see my great-grandfather. You saw one? Grandmothers, no. So, we remember our grandfathers or great-grandfathers. What do you think about your family lineage? Now, in some countries, there are countries where if you're born in a certain family lineage, that's who you are. If you're born in this one, that's who you are. And I think you know what I mean, who you are. I mean, you know, you belong to that lineage. If they're poor, you're poor. If they're not important in the society, then you are not important in that society. What do you think about your family lineage, if you remember them? If you're Adventist, then you are Adventist. If you go in Europe, if you're born in a Catholic kind of family, then everybody will tell you, I am Catholic. What do you think about your family lineage? Good? Proud of it? Sometimes somebody might say, I wish I wasn't born in this family. Has anybody ever thought about that? Oh, really? What? Family, yeah. Or lineage. Or somebody can say, I wish I was in a different one. Or somebody would say, I'm glad I was, maybe she wanted to say, I'm glad I was born in this family. I belong to this family and I'm glad I'm, you know, God put me in this family. All right? Now, like I told you, if you go to some countries, and probably you know them, there are many people who will say, I wish I was born in a different family. Because the family they are in, everybody looks down upon them and thinks, they are nobody. Right? If you were born in a different family, you would not be you. That would be completely a different person. I think what the elder is saying, we can't choose our families. That's who we are. But many people, because of what we humans have accorded to lineage, they might think we are not that special people. We are not important people. And they might kind of think some other group is more special, some group is more important, the other family is more important and more special. There are many of our friends out there who think maybe God does not love them. Is there anybody today here who has ever doubted whether God loves him or loves her? Not today, or some days ago, you could say, yeah, there was a time I thought, does really God love me? Does God care about me? But there are many people out there, if you talk to them about God, they'll tell you, I'm not sure God loves me. I'm not sure God cares about me. What can you tell them? Some will say, and I probably have heard this, will tell me, oh, does it mean that God loves other people more than others? Is that true? Does God love some other people more than others? Or does God, you know, care about other people's problems and not mine or somebody else? What can we tell them? No. God does love everybody. And God does care about everybody. And some go through a situation and they think, does really God care about this situation that I'm going through? Now, some are young, and we have a couple of children here, they might think, oh, I'm just a child, this small problem, God doesn't care about it. Does God care about all problems? Definitely, God cares about all problems. Right? Now, like I told you, it's a children's Bible study or a children's sermon, but just be a child today, and we are going to see if... Now, I'm thinking about it as a children's sermon because there's a little song that they sing that Abraham had many children. Have you heard the song? And they sing and say, I am one of them. And they say, you are also Abraham's child. So just be a child today. Now, in a world of celebrities, if you can understand that world, we're living in a world of celebrities. Are you watching TV? There's a figure that everybody wants to watch. Or if you're in sports, there's a figure that everybody wants to see. And that's the world we're living in. But we're also living in a world where, I don't know if this phrase is common here, who do you know? Have you ever heard of that? Who do you know? What does that mean? If you knew somebody, then you're going to get some favors. Now, those who are searching for jobs, if you go to look for a job in a company where you at least know somebody, what happens? They will look at you differently because they already know you than somebody coming from outside. And that's the world we're living in. Of course, I know that some of us have ended up idolizing those people. Now, I have a favorite TV show figure that I watch. It might end up being an idol, but that's not for us. So in that kind of a situation, we all might want to be associated with somebody. Even if you watch children playing outside, there's probably one that everybody will want to run towards too, you know. And if we are in an organization, in a workplace, there's probably somebody wants to associate with another one. Because at least everybody wants to know somebody and everybody wants to be associated with somebody. But if I may ask you, who is this somebody that everybody wants to be associated with? Whom does everybody want to be associated with? If you see children playing in a workplace, in society out there, everybody wants to be associated with somebody. Who is that somebody? Who is that somebody? Somebody who has no status? Somebody who has money? Political kind of the winner in politics? Or the best speaker? Who does somebody want to be associated with? Somebody of substance. Somebody of importance. That's what everybody wants to be associated with. Or somebody through whom I'll get some favors. If I get associated with somebody who has money, probably if I need help, I'll get help from that. Right? If you want to go on holiday to Africa and you want to know the best places to go to, you probably are going to come to me and ask me, if I wanted to visit Kenya, where would you like me to visit? Which is the best place that I need to visit there? And I'll tell you. Or I can take you there and you can have a good time because you will be with somebody who knows the place much better than you do. You don't want to go to a place with somebody who doesn't know the place. You want to go with somebody who knows that place better and will take you around. Do you need to be associated with somebody in order to get favors from God? Do we need to be associated? I see nodding. No, we don't need to be associated with somebody in order to get favors from God. And I love that because it means anybody can get favors from God. Now I want to come to Abraham. Now there are many, many promises in the Bible that God gave to the patriarchs. Now the patriarchs are the old men of the Bible. Think about Abraham, think about Moses, think about David, all those great men of the Bible. God gave them many, many promises. And there are no promises you can ever find in the world other than those in the Bible. Does everybody agree? Can everybody agree with that statement? There are no promises like those ones in the Bible. Now, one of my best promises in Isaiah 58, where he says, and I will write, you know, I'll put you in high places of the world, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Now that sounds like jargon, but when he says, I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, you can imagine how rich Jacob was, you know, how great Jacob was, but God says he can feed us like the heritage of Jacob. There are no promises like the promises of the Bible. Which is your favorite promise in the Bible? Somebody says, that is the best promise that I love in the Bible. Which is your greatest promise in the Bible? Amen. He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Not some of the sins, but all our sins. You have a greatest Bible promise that you like most. He's coming back. That's one of the greatest promises. Somebody else. I also love for God sent, for God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his only son that we might be saved. Are there any other promises than the promises of the Bible? There are no other promises. You can only find the greatest promises in the Bible. Now, I can promise to take you around the world. I can promise you to take you to space and you can see the world from above. What does that help me with? I mean, I'll see it and I'll come back, but nothing happens. I just saw it. There are no promises like forgiveness of sin, coming back to take you with me and giving you eternal life. Now, Abraham is one of the men that received the greatest promises that you can ever think of. What is the best thing that you remember about Abraham? How many of us know about Abraham? I guess even the children know about Abraham. What is the greatest thing that you remember about Abraham? Yeah, go ahead, say it. He's the father of faith. That's the greatest thing we remember about Abraham. What else about Abraham? I'll say, this I like about Abraham. Or this is the unique thing that I really remember about Abraham. What do you remember about Abraham? He what? He got up and left. He just obeyed. He got up and left the obedience. Where was he going? Did he know? He didn't know where he was headed to. But he got up. He was obedient, and he just left when God told him, leave your land, and I'm going to give you a place too. I tell you, it's difficult. Just think about it. You have your house. We have so many things. If we go to our houses are full, right? And somebody tells you, just leave this house, leave Elmira, get up and go. Where am I going? Is that not the first question I'll ask? I'll ask, but where am I going? North, south, west? How do I go from here? He got up and left. That was Abraham. What else? Something about Abraham. Something so profound that you remember about him. He was the father of faith. He obeyed, just left, and went. Abraham is the father of faith, is the father of Israel. But most of all, Abraham is the, is kind of the heir of the world. God puts him as the heir of the world. It kind of, we all belong to Abraham. And he's the greatest father you can think of. Earthly father, but we have our father in heaven. But through him, he's kind of the heir of the world. And that's what we are going to look at today, because everybody then will want to be associated with Abraham. I really want to be associated with Abraham. But let's see what is so important about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Now, Abraham received the greatest promises that you can ever think of. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. If you can go there with me. Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. And as we read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, I want you to underline those promises, and we are going to count them, the promises that Abraham received. In Genesis 12 verse 1, he says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. tells him, just get out, I'll show you some land. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that sounds like he is the father of the whole earth, because all families will be blessed through him. Now we can stop there, but which promises, how can we summarize the promises that Abraham was given? Let's try to list them. What was the first promise he was given? Verse 1 through 3. Land, he was promised land. I'll give you some land. We know what that land is today. What about the second promise? What was the second promise? A great nation. Now, a great nation. I'll give you a great nation. But then there's another promise to that. A great nation. And then he promises him, what was the third promise? So he's a land, a great nation. What else? Bless thee and make thy name great. Those are two. Blessings and your name will be great. Now blessings is somehow very wide. Now what does he mean by blessings? I will bless thee and make thy name great. Now in today's world you might say, Abraham was rich. He had a lot. He was very rich. But blessings can be so wide. It can be the riches. It can be children. I mean, having children is a blessing, you know. Wisdom is a blessing. Well, Solomon was asked, what do you want, what would you like me to give to you? He said wisdom. And that was the greatest that he could ever get. But God also gave him wealth. Wisdom. So blessings can be such a wide, wide thing. And so Abraham was blessed and his name was made great. One promise is remaining. He asked him he was going to offer his son, and he was willing to do it. That was one of the greatest things that Abraham did. And one of the greatest tests. When I was reading it, I thought to myself, if I was Abraham, would I have done that? I'm not sure whether I could have just come out and said, okay, you say it, Lord, I'm going to do it. After having no child for all those years, and this is the only one, Abraham did it, and that was the greatest test you can ever go through. Any other promise you are leaving out? Any other promise you are leaving out? Yes?
Bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him.
Amen. He will protect him. And as he went all to verse 3, he says, curse those that curse him. And then he finishes by saying, all families of the earth will be blessed. What is happening? This is now going broad. He said, I'll give you a nation, but it seems like it will just spread over to every family on earth. So there's a nation, but he says, I will bless all families of the earth through Abraham. This is so wide. It's covering kind of the whole earth. And we know that Abraham got a big nation. What is the big nation that Abraham got? Abraham got, we know from him, we have Isaac was only one, but then we come to Jacob, and then it starts spreading out, and we have the whole Israel as a nation coming out of Abraham. The whole nation coming out of Abraham. And then these are really great promises. In the history today, there are several religions that will associate with Abraham. Or the religions are derived from Abraham. Now, do we know some of those religions? We are one of those. Because we come from, you know, Abraham's lineage. Now we are keeping discussing that. But do you remember other religions that associate with Abraham? That talk about Abraham in their teachings? or think that they all came from Abraham. Are there other religions that you can think of? Big religions, right? They all derive from Abraham. So Abraham is a big name. Abraham is really a big name. And these are great promises that everybody wants to be a part of. But he says he will bless the whole earth. And so many people want to be associated with Abraham. Now, being a child of Abraham is such an important thing. And that's why we have several religions that want to be associated with Abraham. Who are Abraham's children? Because through Abraham, the whole world will be blessed. Don't you want to be Abraham's child? But who are Abraham's children? That's what we are going to look at today. Who are Abraham's children? Now remember, he was told he was going to be given a big nation, but the whole earth will also be blessed. So which is which? Are they one and the same? Or are they separate things? So I would like to know, who are Abraham's children? I want us to go to the New Testament and ask Jesus, who are Abraham's children? Now, if you go with me to John chapter 8, verse 39. John chapter 8, verse 39. Let's see what Jesus says. Who are Abraham's children? In John chapter 8, verse 39. John chapter 8, verse 39. Now, in this story, Jesus was faced by his fellow men those days. They came to him and they're having a talk with Jesus, and Jesus tells them, well, I'll give you the truth and the truth will set you free. I'll give you the truth and the truth will set you free. Now that did not go well with them. They thought, why are you telling us that you will give us the truth and the truth will set us free? But we are not in bondage anymore. And let's see what Jesus said to them. So you can read the whole chapter, John chapter 8. You can go all the way, but I'm going to read verse 39 only. So the whole story goes, Jesus, you know, tells them, you know, he came with the truth and he's going to give them the truth and the truth will set them free. But in verse 39 they say, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. They're telling Jesus, no, we don't need your truth because Abraham is our father. But Jesus says to them, no, if you are Abraham's children, then you will do what? You will do Abraham's? If you are Abraham's children, then you will do Abraham's works. Now, what do you think Jesus is saying? He's telling them, I don't think you're Abraham's children. But we know it's true. That they all came down from Abraham. We know Abraham is their great, 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 great grandfather, but Jesus is saying, no, if you were Abraham's children, which might mean you're not, you could have done Abraham's works. So from that statement, how do you think we become Abraham's children? How do we become Abraham's children? By what? By believing. He says, by works. He says, you could do Abraham's works. If you were, then I could see Abraham's works in you. But Jesus doesn't see Abraham's works in them. So he's saying, they're actually not Abraham's children if he doesn't see Abraham's works in them. Now, if I were you, I will quickly ask, what are those Abraham's works? What are those Abraham's works? Now, my sister said, believing. Those are Abraham. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 23. Let's go to the book of James chapter 2. Book of James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. Now, James says, and the scriptures were fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed. And that's what my sister said. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. I like the word friend of God. He was called the friend of God by believing. So what are the works of Abraham? He was told to leave his land, and he left. He was told to sacrifice his child. He sacrificed the child. He must have had such a strong belief in God that he trusted everything that God told him. And that's his works. His belief was Abraham's works. Now, it will sound so bad if my son came today to me and said, my father, I need this. And then I'll say to him, I'm not your father. Would that not sound so bad? Or I will tell him, or come to anybody and tell him, you claim that is your father, but that's not your father. It sounds like that's what Jesus is telling them. You claim Abraham to be your father. Abraham is not your father. If he was your father, then I will see the works to you. Now, I'm just trying to say that so we can ask the question, how do we become Abraham's children? Is it by birth? Is it by association? Or is it by works? Or is it by believing? But Jesus is saying, if you believe, I will see that through your works. How do we become Abraham's children? And that's the next question that we want to answer. Let's see what Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Romans chapter 4, 11 through 12. Let's see what Paul says. How do we become Abraham's children? How do we become Abraham's children? In the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Paul is talking to the Romans. Now, I can give you the background of the story. Now, these brothers and sisters have gone back to believing that somebody needed to be circumcised in order to be part of the kingdom of God. And so they're trying to believe in the law and thinking that the law was so important to them. And so Paul is speaking to them. Let's see what he says about Abraham. But the question is, do we need to do something to become Abraham's children? Do we need to do something so we are put in the family of Abraham, which is so blessed? Verse 11 says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. Now, just read that once more. The Bible says he received the sign of circumcision. This sign that they are interested in, of circumcision, Paul is saying, that sign, he received it, which is a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. What he's saying is that he received way before circumcision. Circumcision came after Abraham was already declared righteous and faithful to God. So this circumcision did not come before. He was declared righteous, then he was given this sign. It was just a sign to show that he was already righteous before he was circumcised. That he might be the father of all them that believe. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. So Paul is saying, he's the father of both. He's the father of both. But otherwise, He's the father of those who believe. That's the most important, because circumcision was not there when he became the father of those that believe. But if you are of the circumcision, you also will need to believe. So we are not children of Abraham by circumcision. That's not how we are the children of Abraham. That's what Paul is telling his fellow Christians those days. In verse 13 he says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world, so he's the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through what? Through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He's saying Abraham was given the world. Heir, I believe this word to say he inherited the whole world, not because of the law, but it was through righteousness of faith. So don't worry about circumcision. That's what Paul is telling them. Don't worry about this sign. Abraham is our father because of faith. It's righteousness of faith. So who are the children of Abraham? And who are heirs? Abraham inherited the whole world. It was given to him because of faith. And we are inheriting from Abraham. Who are the children of Abraham? And who can you say are heirs of Abraham according to that statement? Or according to what Paul is telling us? There is no law to be a child of Abraham. There is no circumcision to be a child of Abraham. In short, there is nothing you can do to be a child of Abraham. He is the heir of righteousness, of faith, through believing in God. So believing is the only word there. Now maybe this doesn't apply to anyone here, but it might apply to other people out there who are discouraged of where they were born. They are probably discouraged of their family tree. Have you heard of people asking their family tree, asking about where they came from and doing some DNA tests to see where is their heritage? Have you, or have we done that? Has anybody tested where they came from? Some DNA test to know where you came from, whether you came from some country in Europe, where, you know, who is your great-great-great-grandfather? Nobody has done that here, but some of us are interested in that. Where did I come from? Who is my great-great-grandfather? And maybe some of us are discouraged because of where we were born, what is our heritage. But this is good news to us. It doesn't matter where you were born. Abraham, who is the heir of the world, he has children through just believing. You don't have to be born in that family. You don't have to be born in a specific place in the world in order to be Abraham's child. We are all his children if we believe. But some will tell you, well, Abraham was told, later on, a promise was given to Abraham, and it was said, it's through his seed. Now, when we hear the word seed, what comes to our mind? Seed. What's my father's seed? Somebody might say, what do you think? I am the seed of my father. Maybe I am the seed of my great-grandfather. What do you think about when we talk about seed? Seed, what? Children, yes. We think about children. So some people look at that promise and think, no, it was said it's through his seed, which can mean it was through his children. And I want us to read that promise in Genesis chapter 22. It said it's through his seed. Now, what does that mean? Genesis 22, verse 17 and 18. Now, the promises of Abraham were repeated several times. They were repeated a number of times. And in Genesis 22, they are again repeated there. And let us read verse 17 and 18. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the sea, which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And verse 18 he says, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. What do you think about those two verses? Does it mean that only the seed, you know, the children, so you can say, of Abraham will receive that promise? And in verse 17, it talks about the seed. Is it the same seed as verse 18? Because if you look at 17, somebody will say, I will multiply thy seed. So he had many children that were born of his lineage. And, you know, I will protect them from the enemies. Does it mean only the children of Abraham by birth? But in verse 18, he says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Does it mean in Abraham's children by birth only? But he says seed. Is this many seeds or one seed? What does he mean? What do you think God is saying in those two verses? Yes, Sister Heather. Many generations. Amen. Amen. Not first generation, but all generations of Abraham, many generations to come, will be blessed. And I want us to dwell a little bit on verse 18. He says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, which means many generations by birth will be blessed, but through his seed again, all the families of the earth, all other people on the earth will be blessed. What does he mean by that? And that's so important to us. From the seed of Abraham, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And I think it's an important point, and somebody will say, yes, I really want to know, what does that mean through his seed? And what is that seed? Who is that seed? And I think it can be so confusing today that it might end up into, you know, one of those last day deceptions. Because depending on what I call that seed, and because that's through that seed, that's where the blessing is coming. If I understand it wrongly, I will go to the wrong seed. So if I knew that seed, then I'm in the right place. Because through that seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He said, through that seed. Now I want to step a little bit back and ask you, so do you think it's through Abraham that all nations are blessed, or it's through his seed? Which is which now? It's through his seed. So it's actually not through Abraham. It's through his seed that all the nations of the earth are blessed. That's so important to know. It's through his seed and not actually through Abraham. Yes. I like that comment, because you see now the seed question does what? Comes in. The seed question comes in. So important. And like I said, it can be a last day deception, or it can just be a deception depending on who I consider or what I consider that seed to be. And I like that comment because it gives us one of those examples where understanding the seed really is helpful. Otherwise, we might go a different direction. Now, what this, our sister said is that they believe that the seed could be Ishmael, and that's how we are all blessed. So are we blessed through Ishmael? Who is that seed? Now, I want us to go to Galatians chapter 3 and see what Paul says about the seed. Now, Paul interprets that seed for us. And let's see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, I could also say a very, very good chapter. You can go back and read it. In Galatians, actually verse 1 starts with a rebuke. Paul is rebuking the Galatians, and he uses the word, "Oh, foolish Galatians." He's telling them, you know, that's kind of a rebuke. He says they started so well in the right way, but they have gone the wrong way. And it's all about the seed again. It's all about Abraham. So Abraham is kind of very central to our salvation. It's about Abraham. It's about how we become children of Abraham. And Paul is saying, you started well, but you are going the wrong way. And in verse 16, Paul will tell us who that seed is. In verse 16, he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds. Now, read that carefully. He says, yes, the promises were made to his seed. But he says, God did not say to seeds. Paul says, he said not and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. And then Paul finishes by saying, which is Christ. So Paul is saying, that seed was one. It was not Ishmael. That seed was Christ. If I know the seed, then I'm in safe grounds. That seed is Christ. Christ is the one through whom the whole nation, all the nations are blessed. It's actually not through Abraham. It's through Abraham's seed, and that seed is Jesus Christ. And that's how all the nations of the world are blessed. If you read the whole book of Galatians, not book, but chapter 3 of Galatians, you'll find that the Galatians had believed by faith in Jesus Christ. But Paul is saying they went back to thinking that the law was saving them. And Paul is saying, you're not saved by the law. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, who is the seed of Abraham. So Abraham was not given the law. The law was given to Moses. So the law was not there when it was declared that through the seed of Abraham we will all be saved. And that's what Paul is talking about in the book of Galatians chapter 3. And I think we can read verse 7, 8 and 9 too. We can read 7, 8 and 9. In verse 7 he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Those that are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now we got a clear answer there. Who are the children of Abraham? Those that are of faith. Those are the children of Abraham. And verse 8 he says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen, who are me and you, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. And verse 9, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now you can see they are also blessed with faithful Abraham. Now we also see the meaning of blessing. Like we started, we said, blessing can be so wide. Can be wealth, can be wisdom, all those things we mentioned. But blessing also now means salvation. Because he's saying the heathen want to be blessed. So what does that mean? The heathen could be saved. The heathen could come into the family of God through that way. We are all the children of Abraham by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ, who is the seed that Abraham was promised, that through his seed we will all be saved. And that is the seed. If I know the seed, then I'm in the right hands, because I know whom to believe in, faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the seed. And that is so profound, and you know, sometimes we can't understand the love of God, that through faith, he'll say, just through faith, just believe in Jesus Christ, and we, all of us, will be saved. Now, some might say, well, that's really, it's hard for those who had to do all the sacrifices and do all the law and do all the things. God says, all of them are mine because I made them all. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, if you can go there with me, or maybe you know this in our minds, Paul comes to a point where he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. That is the only way we are adopted into the family of God, into the family of Abraham. That's the only way we are adopted. Otherwise, like we sang in the morning, we were aliens. We were not part of the commonwealth of God. We are not part of the family of God. But through faith, we are all blessed. We are all brought in into the family of Abraham. So what he says is, no faith, we are not Abraham's children. Doesn't matter whether you were born of the great-great-great-grandfather, great-grandchild of Abraham. No. Whether by birth, we are not Abraham's children. We are only Abraham's children by faith. But that's good news for us today. If I started checking my DNA, I'm sure I'll find absolutely nothing to do with Abraham, if that could be done today, and they test my DNA. But Jesus is saying to us, all nations will be blessed. I will be blessed and you will be blessed. So it doesn't matter whether you are of the lineage. You don't even need to test. Just have the faith and you are part of Abraham's family. Now I want to finish our discussion today. I started by saying this could end up into a deception, and like our sister said, it can end up into a deception unless I know the seed, and it can become so confusing in the times that we are living in. And the times that we are living in are times when we all want to be recognized. Everybody wants to be recognized. But we are also living in destitute times when the signs of his coming are so fulfilling around us. And we are living in times of fear and we are worried about tomorrow. In those kinds of times, everybody will want some safety somewhere. I want to hold on to something. I want to know somebody. I want to hold on to something that I'm assured of tomorrow. And in the search of what to hold on to, we might end up holding on to the wrong thing. Or we might end up believing in the wrong thing. But if I knew where salvation is coming from, I would definitely hold on to the right, be on the right way, hold on to the right thing for my salvation. I want us to read the last verse. Did I read that? I just want to read that as our take-home message. I want to jump still in Galatians chapter 3. I probably will read among the last verses there, which Malachi read. As we think about, kind of the great and troubled time that it will go through, we should not fear if we knew where we stand. If I knew who is my Father, if I knew where my salvation comes from, I will not fear. And Paul, what he's telling us today, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, and that will be our last verse, is that, and if you be Christ's, that means if I am in Christ, if I'm hidden in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. If you are hidden in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Then you are Abraham's child, if you are in Christ. And why? We have already said that. Because Jesus is that seed through whom the blessings come. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. What is the meaning of heirs? What's the meaning of a heir? If you have a property, you'll give it to your child, right? He becomes the heir of your property. If you have some money and you want to, give out that money, you give to your son or your daughter, they become the heir of that estate. They take it up from you. He says, we are also heirs. Remember, Abraham was given the whole world. He became the heir of the world. But he says, if we are in Christ, then we are Abraham's seed. Then we are also who? Heirs. We will inherit all the promises of Abraham, including the precious life that Jesus is bringing unto us. And I pray this morning that we all know that we are Abraham's children because we have believed in Christ. And soon he's coming, and that promise that he gave us will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that you gave to our fathers. But thank you, Lord, for loving us and for remembering us and sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. The Lord, through him, we are counted as one of your family members. The Lord, through him, we are adopted into your family. Lord, even when we were far away, you thought about us. We thank you and praise you this morning and pray that you put your word in our hearts. And that, Lord, you help us. You increase our faith in our Lord Jesus. And the Lord, you will stand with us and be with us through the times that are ahead, that our faith will stand until you come to take us home. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your grace and for your mercy. And now as we leave, we pray that you be with each and every one. Protect us throughout the week. Lord, may you protect us from the enemy and all the temptations that he brings by us. Lord, I pray that you put your hedge of protection around all of us here today. And as we walk the path of life, looking forward to your second coming, that none of us will fall by the wayside. But Lord, through your protection, you'll take us through the end. We pray, Lord, for those who are not here today for some reason. Maybe they are sick. Maybe they were not able to come. Lord, be with them also throughout the week. And may you continue speaking to their heart. May thy spirit dwell in all of us again until we meet next time for worship. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.